everybody. Thank you for joining us here on the Happy Cast. The Happy Cast, as you know, is your number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. I'm trying to kill a mosquito. Oh, my God.
That's what's between.
Yes.
Everyone's wondered.
The mosquito is the middle ground. All these years, people have asked us. It's this mosquito freaking me out. I am Ben. No, I'm sorry. This mosquito really threw off my A game. I'm Brian. Joining me, as always, is a man who is a notorious mosquito sympathizer, Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben, and I do not like mosquitoes either.
Okay, all right.
It's so cold. Why are mosquitoes flying around?
I don't know. It's really weird, right?
It's like negative 30 degrees.
Not here. I mean, here, I think as of now, it's just above freezing, like 35, but...
I think I lied. It's 34. 46.
Okay, well, it's probably about that here then.
I don't know.
But it's nice and cool though.
This is the weather segment of the podcast.
This concludes local weather with Ben and Brian. I know all our worldwide listeners were really excited to hear what the weather's like in our neck of the woods right now.
It is 50 in Atlanta.
Okay.
52 in Death Valley. 43 in New York. 77 in Honolulu.
Well, thank you, Al. You're Al Roker. Thank you. I was wondering how long into the episode we would go without somebody making reference.
To poop or just
to Al Roker pooping his fans.
At the White House. Right in front of the president.
Yep.
Sitting on his lap.
Did that happen?
Yeah, Obama was just like Santa Claus.
Oh, right, the White House Christmas party. Okay.
Yeah, and Al Roker sat in his lap and just like pooped all over it.
Yep.
Pretty embarrassing.
Indeed. Hey, today's involuntary sponsor of the Happy Cast is socks. The Happy Cast is brought to you by socks. Specifically, a comfortable ankle-length socks. No, crew cut? I think that's what I always get. Crew cut, maybe?
Golden toe?
Golden, what? Is that a thing?
Red striped?
Like red stitching?
Argyle.
You mean the limo driver from Die Hard?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Socks.
I have socks hand knitted by Argyle from Die Hard.
Wow. eBay yep. Or like did you just know him?
I'm good friends with Argyle from Die Hard. I've been working really hard to get him to be a guest on the show, but he's been hesitant so far because he knows I'll just ask him a bunch of Die Hard questions.
Oh, you got to try though.
Argyle, why didn't you notice that the building you were in was being taken over by German terrorists?
Well, wasn't he rocking out to music or something?
Yeah, in the garage the whole time.
Yeah, he's down in the basement just listening to music for a long time. That's why.
I always felt like that movie, you know, while I do somewhat, you know, hyperbolically proclaim it to be a perfect piece of filmmaking, I've always felt like his character needed, like, some kind of third act reappearance.
What would he do? Like, he'd run in and, like, save the day?
Yeah, he would be, you know, I don't want to spoil the end of Die Hard for people that have not seen it, but the thing that the Allen character does at the very end of the film, where, you know, it pans up, and it's like, oh, it was Allen this time. That should have been Argyle.
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
I thought he saved the day at some point with his limo, but I don't remember. It's been, like, a year or two.
For shame, Ben. For shame.
I'm sorry.
I watched half of Die Hard on Christmas Eve before falling asleep in an eggnog-induced coma-like state.
Oh, I thought you meant the movie's boring. You were so bored of it.
No, never.
So, how have you been over these Happy Cast days?
It's been about, I'm going to say, about a month since we last recorded. I've been well. I'm really glad to have gotten through the holidays. It was a lot of fun. Caught up with family and important people.
And we survived the apocalypse?
We did, you know. Or maybe this is actually the afterlife, and we don't know it yet.
We're all going to meet in a church.
Yes, much like the controversial final episode of a TV series that I'm not going to name.
Dharma and Greg.
The final episode of Dharma and Greg.
They were dead the whole time.
Yes, yeah. They really, yeah. You know, they had clues in early episodes. People never really picked up on it. But, Yeah, it was actually confirmed after the show ended on the Dharma and Greg, the official podcast, that they were actually in purgatory the whole time.
On the Dharmapedia?
Yes. Yes, the Dharma and Greg Initiative is the name of the the official Dharma and Greg podcast.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yes.
Greg Unlocked.
It's just a Dharma logo with Jenna Elfman's face in it.
Oh, wasn't she in that movie? Or she's in a TV show about the president.
All I know is that she is the lady from Dharma and Greg. I think her character was named Dharma.
She's not Greg?
Maybe. I actually have never seen an episode of that show. She could have been Greg.
Would you host a podcast called Greg Unlocked? Not Dharma. It's Greg.
Only if, I don't know, if I had a really good justification for the name of the show. Then yes. Okay.
Oh, by the way, so yeah, we should probably start something episode-wise.
Right, yes, we're done with the lollygagging portion of the show. I can't believe I just said the word lollygagging. On
yeah, that's how old weird. Are you? Secretly like 80?
I do feel like I've rapidly become an old man over the past few months. But,
whippersnapper?
Yes, whippersnapper. We should move on to one of our segments. I think maybe happy hour. Hey, it's happy hour, segment of the show where we talk about things making us happy this week. Ben, what a smile on your face.
Oh, well, I'm smiling now because you can see my smile, I assume. My happy hour, I have three. Should I pick a food-related one or a non-food-related one?
I think keeping with tradition, food, right?
Yeah, well, cheesy rice.
Cheesy rice?
Cheesy rice.
You know, I have often partaken of a bowl of rice and felt like this is missing just something. There's chocolate. Some kind of chocolate?
It's missing chocolate.
Cheese and chocolate covered rice.
Oh, that's just the most delicious thing I've ever had. I don't think I've ever had chocolate on rice, though. Cheesy rice. When Megan and I go shopping,
yep.
Like, she goes to the rice aisle because she likes all sorts of rice. And then, like, one day I was like, oh, that one is four cheese. It looks really good. And it's just microwavable. And then it goes into a bowl. And since I've been doing the calorie thing, it's, like, really low. Especially for one meal. And so, like, I got it one time, and it was amazing. I haven't got a regular rice to compare it against. Cheesy rice was way better. And then last time I got, like, five bags of it. I've been slowly eating them, and it's good.
Is this just a standard type rice? Or are you is this a brown cheesy rice? Or
I think it's like classic white rice.
Okay.
But cheesy with four apparent cheeses, if I trust the packaging.
Okay, all right. Four cheeses. I'm gonna assume it's a cheddar. It is a provolone. It is a Kraft single and a blue cheese.
If I had to pick a runner-up one, which I forgot about until now for Happy, there's this water that is zero calories and carbonated and delicious.
Oh, is it flavored carbonated water or just carbonated water? Okay, all right, because regular carbonated water.
Yeah, regular would be kind of weird. I don't know. I'm not sure why I would want that, because if I want that, I'd just drink water.
Yes,
absolutely. But it's called Clear American or something.
Okay.
Which I wish they had like a catchier name. Like maybe Clear American. I don't know.
American.
But it has zero of like, I mean, I don't even know why the nutrition fact's on here. Because it's all zero.
It's like drinking nothing.
Kind of, except it's delicious. And it was only like 68 cents for like a liter.
Sounds like a terrific value.
There's like strawberry, kiwi strawberry, raspberry, tangerine orange. No, not tangerine lime, mandarin orange. There are all sorts of random, like, crazy flavors. And they taste better than, like, the similarly flavored sodas.
Hmm.
I've had strawberry soda, and I've had strawberry Clear American water, and the water blows the other one away.
Do they have a cola-flavored carbonated water?
I don't think they have cola-carbonated water.
No Dr. Pepper-flavored water?
No, not that I've seen.
Okay.
But that would be insane.
That would be great. Have you ever tried one of my favorite products, coconut water?
I've had the coconut flavor of Clear American.
Okay, yes. Yeah, coconut flavored water is good, but I'm talking about the actual water taken from a young green coconut. It's like, it's nature's sports drink is the slogan of the brand I buy.
I thought it's called delicious. Coconut milk.
I think it's something about it being a young, green coconut. It's a water, but then I think, a regular coconut's a coconut milk. Which I think is a natural laxative.
Oh.
I've been told. I don't know.
I would not know. But yeah, we are not sponsored by those people, but if they would like to.
Yes, if they want to, inquire about, sponsors, just.
Coconut laxatives.
Yeah, send an email to our head of promotions, Daniel at happycast.fizzbiz. fizzbiz@fizzbiz.fizzbiz.
Exactly.
I'm sure it'll reach her eventually.
Get on that, Fizzbiz.
Yes.
All right. What's yours, though?
My happy hour choice, offering selection of today. That's not a great one, but I bought a PlayStation the Third about 6 months ago.
Ah.
It's okay. It plays games. I don't like playing games on it. It's kind of not great. But it plays high-definition Blu-ray disc.
How is Blu-ray?
It looks beautiful. So my happy hours, I've been getting way into watching movies on Blu-ray.
I don't think I've seen anything on Blu-ray ever.
Oh, it's really a worthwhile experience. Especially if you have a really nice, high resolution television capable of 1080p. But
I have that part. That part's awesome.
Yes. Well, you should, check out Blu-ray. The thing about it is I've been watching a lot of older movies on Blu-ray.
How does that work?
Just because something's on a Blu-ray disc on that format, it doesn't automatically look great. Because they just put anything on that. But if it's a really well done transfer, a 1080p transfer that's been cleaned up, it can look outstanding.
I think I saw part of The Dark Knight in Blu-ray.
I bet that looked incredible.
Well, I was more confused. I think it made me slightly sick, which was weird.
Hmm.
Maybe it wasn't the movie. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was all that cheesy Rex you ate before heading out to the local electronics store.
Oh. What about... This is only slightly related, but did you see The Hobbit in, like, whatever the FPS was faster that people were complaining about?
No, I saw it in regular standard format.
I saw it in that one, and I thought it was just fine. It was cool. I was confused what the big deal was.
Did it look really any different at all? Did it look...
It looked a little more... realistic, but that's about it.
Would you consider that to be positive or?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I get motion sick all the time, and I did not get motion sick. Like everyone keeps claiming happens to them when they see it like that.
Yeah, these are people, you know, just a bunch of posers hopping onto the motion sickness bandwagon.
Or part of it might be the thing where, like, if you're expecting to get motion sick during it, there's a good chance you will. Because of your brain.
Like a placebo effect.
Yeah.
Like, this is the movie that makes people motion sick.
Because I got motion sick during a Star Wars video game once.
Was it because it was just so bad?
I know, I was jetpacking around and lasers were flying everywhere.
Were you playing Battlefront?
I was playing Star Wars Bounty Hunter on the GameCube.
Okay.
I was a bounty hunter.
I would have guessed.
In the Wars of the Stars.
Oh, yes. Oh, those Star Wars. When will they end?
So your Blu-ray collection, what all do you have?
A bunch of stuff. Well, it's kind of it's a double-edged blade because I've been really enjoying things on Blu-ray. But also, I've been buying things on Blu-ray that I already own in different formats. Which kind of makes me my least favorite person. It's like, did I really need to buy Back to the Future a third time? I have the VHS and the DVD. Do I really need the Blu-ray?
Yes. Yes, you do.
It does look really good. But still, after all these years, the Blu-ray looked gorgeous, but my favorite way to ever experience that movie was watching the bootleg cassette that my grandmother recorded off of ABC when I was like 5 years old.
That sounds pretty amazing.
It was great! Also, you know, when I just said this out loud, why would a 5-year-old be way into Back to the Future? That seems weird.
Yeah, I was actually going to question that next. I mean, how much of it could you understand at 5?
I don't know. I think I like the car left trails of flames, and that was cool.
That was the best part of the movie, then.
I don't know. I had a weird, like, my popular culture intake was really weird at a young age. Like, I was way into classic sitcoms at like age 6. Like, because of Nick at Night, probably. But like, yeah. I remember specifically one year my grandmother asked me, "Oh, what do you want for Christmas?" And I think I was 6. I was like, I want a VHS tape of the episode of I Love Lucy with special guest star Harpo Marx. It's like, what? No.
Wow.
If I saw that kid, I would punch him in the face, and it would be okay because it would be me.
But wouldn't you be confused because, like, someone from that looks a lot like you but older punched you in the face?
I would say, "I'm you from the future," and then I probably would have really gotten a kick out of it because I was way into Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. But then you might have ruined the future because you knew about it.
I want the episode with Milton Berle shows up. Why? Why do you know who these people are? 5-year-old version of me.
I watched some Nick at Night, but not a whole lot. I don't remember what I watched. I think I mostly played video games or read.
Ah, see, great. Those are much healthier alternatives. Watching copious amounts of Nick at Night is playing video games and reading.
I think I read a lot of Encyclopedia Brown.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, kid detective.
He's like a Sherlock Holmes Jr.
Yeah, he's like really smart, and there's a bully or something, and he solved some mystery where the word diary was spelled dairy, and that's how he knew there was a problem.
Aha!
I don't really remember a lot.
Encyclopedia Brown. He rode a bike.
That's all I know.
Well, sounds great. I'm at the end of my Blu-ray rant. I have the Back to the Future Tarantino box set, the Dark Knight trilogy, stuff like that. It looks cool.
Oh, I forgot I don't own the Dark Knight Rises.
You should. I bought the box set of all three, even though I already owned the other two on DVD.
I only own one, so that box set, well, I don't have Blu-ray, but oh well.
Plan for the future, Ben. Plan for the future.
I just don't want to have to buy all of my movies again to see them in better.
Just embrace the insanity of it.
But there's also having to buy like a Blu-ray player.
Ah, good point. Yeah. Hold off. I'm sure the next Xbox will have Blu-ray playing capabilities.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Ah, so what is our next segment?
Bummer Patrol. Hey everybody, welcome to the Bummer Patrol segment where we talk about what's got us down in the dumps. Ben, why are you crying?
Because of this sound.
Because your footlocker is empty?
I hate that metal door creaky sound that's in everything.
Oh, well, let's hear it one more time.
Alright.
Yes, very... very interesting. Now, where in the world would you hear something like that?
For the listeners, that will be embedded into the actual podcast. Just so you guys, so listeners, you won't know the difference. So I'm not sure why I'm actually saying that out loud, because you will just hear it normally.
And
whereas
it sounds
I held the microphone
to
up to the TV.
So I thought it sounded great from my end.
I might just keep it then, and in which case, all of this was just a pointless 30 seconds of talking. I have been hearing it recently. In Far Cry 3, which we've recently rented and started playing, and every, like, safe house door makes that sound. But I noticed it previously watching Buffy and Angel, every metal door they open makes that sound.
Huh. So are you suggesting that this is like a Wilhelm screen of opening door sounds?
Yes. There are a few stock sounds that drive me insane, and that is one of them. I'm okay with the Wilhelm scream as long as I use it, like, once. Once in something.
Hey, that's almost like a fun game at this point. Like, there it was when that troll fell off that bridge.
Yeah, I know it was in each of the Lord of the Rings movies. It was Star Wars. It was in, I'm pretty sure it was in The Hobbit.
It was when the troll fell off the bridge.
Yeah, it's been in Assassin's Creed.
Or a goblin. They're kind of all the same.
Probably a goblin. They're all very different.
I feel like I might be racist against J.R.R. Tolkien characters.
Apparently, the goblins and orcs are very different families. They don't even get along.
They look the same to me.
I think like they're both different battle stuff in the last war or something. I don't remember. And did you know there are two different types of orcs also?
No! Oh wait, there's the one that's made from, The one that Saruman made in the goo.
Yeah, those are the Uruk-hai. But the other ones are just like regular old orcs, the ones they meet earlier on.
Are orcs like fallen elves of some kind?
Yeah, I think that's how they started.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a very poor understanding of fantasy things.
And the other ones are mass-produced because that whole movie was... I mean, the books were kind of about industrialism and how it's evil.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm okay with the Wilhelm scream. And the other sound, I don't know what it's called, but it's the one that the TIE fighters make. That apparently lots of stuff.
The laser sound.
One of those. I'm okay with that one. All but right. That creaky door sound, there's a wooden door sound, and there's the same crowd sound I always hear. Because in the background, there's like one person going like, in the crowd.
Like an adult baby?
Well, I couldn't find it because I found everyone else's, like, the ones that they made. And I didn't want those. I wanted, like, the actual sound I heard back in elementary school when we were in computer lab. And, like, whenever you solve, like, one of the math parts of that program, whatever the heck that thing was, that was, like, well, you see, like, a little race car drives off and you hear that crowd sound. And I hear it in everything that has a cheering crowd. They'll be mixing with other crowd cheering sounds, but I always hear it and it drives me insane.
Yes, you can imagine that being your claim to fame. Wouldn't that be weird? Do you think whoever is responsible for that can use it for impressing people or like picking up ladies at a bar? Like, hey, you know, hey, does this sound familiar? It's like in the crowd scene of every movie and TV show. That's me.
Oh God. And then certain types of, like, sirens that I hear, the exact same kind of. Or, what is it? It's not animals. I don't remember. Another sound. Oh, I think the Star Trek door sound for futuristic doors sliding open.
Yeah, but that's just everybody ripping off Star Trek.
I know, but they just keep taking that same thing.
I agree. I'm okay with it in the Star Trek context.
Well, yeah, but because it's Star Trek.
Yes.
But every futuristic sliding door makes that exact sound. When probably in the future, it probably wouldn't even make a sound. They probably figured that out. Oh, just...
So your bummer patrol is overuse of... I can only assume to be public domain sounds or...
Yeah, especially that creaky door. Because every single safe house in Far Cry 3... makes that sound, and I hated it before. Not the game. I hated that sound before. But now I'm forced to hear it whenever I try to go, like, buy stuff from the little shop.
Can we hear it? Can we have one more for the road?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'm sure doors can make, metal doors can make more sounds than...
all right. Well, thank you, Ben. I'm sure you have ruined that sound for all of us now.
You will hear it in everything that has metal doors.
I'll never be able to unhear it at this point.
All right. Well, what is your hopefully less frustrating bummer patrol?
My bummer patrol, and I have this weird feeling where I'm not sure if I've talked about this before. So if I have, please stop me and we can end my segment prematurely.
All right.
But my bummer patrol is what I'm going to refer to as the death of channel surfing.
I don't think you've done that one before.
Okay. Well, you know, if you think about how we consume media as a culture now, like compared to, let's say, I don't know, I'm going to pull a number out of my hat, 20 years ago when I was 5 years old. I don't know about you, but when I go to watch something or see a movie or something, I turn on a computer and then I boot up Netflix or Hulu and then I go through a list and select a thing. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to check out the new episode of Mad Men or something.
Yeah.
And I'll queue it up and I'll watch it, which is great because it gives us this really high level of control over the things that we watch. But I feel like we're kind of losing something because there was something kind of magical about back in the day turning on a television, not knowing what you're seeing. Like, this seems interesting. I might watch a little bit of this and then change the channel. And, like, check out this or that. I feel like, you know, when I did that, I was exposed to more, television or news programs or just different things in general. Or, you know, it also applies to music, you know, because we used to turn on the radio and then we would just have music played to us. But now, you know, now I have my iPhone that has, like, the only 6 songs I'll ever listen to.
Wow.
So I feel like as a culture, I feel like, you know, there's something to be said about losing the act of channel surfing.
I could see what you mean. Because I remember channel surfing often. Of course, then I always had to watch crappy stuff because nothing was on.
True.
So I watched lots of reruns.
Yeah, you know, reruns were okay. But then, you know, when you found that diamond in the rough, it was better because you earned it. Like, I waded through all the garbage and I found this one really exceptional thing.
But what if someone just told you about the exceptional thing and you could watch it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to just have it handed to you on a silver platter.
Because now that I pick and choose what I watch, I just rely on other people to tell me what's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, and I watch what I consider to be the best things at this point. Like, you know, if it wasn't for the way, you know, we're connected through social media and stuff like that, I probably wouldn't have ever watched Mad Men, which is probably my favorite show on the air right now, not called Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yes.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I kind of liked, you know, going to, I'm going to say work, but in my case it was school. I go in school the next day and talking to my friends like, oh, I was up last night. I saw this really crazy infomercial about a knife that can cut through shoes.
You can still do that.
Exactly. But I don't know. I would never just seek out an infomercial about a knife that can cut through shoes. Is my point.
Oh, you aren't living then.
I feel like, yeah, maybe reevaluate the way I handle things.
Find some friends and to start watching infomercials.
But man, I'm just telling you, brother, you know, just jump ahead like two or three generations, man. Our kids' kids are just gonna do what they're told, man. They're like sheep. They're like, hey, this is what you watch. This is what you watch. I'm sorry. I wanted to try out my crazy, conspiracy character. Like, no, man, they're poisoning your minds with garbage.
Listeners, tell us how you feel about channel surfing.
Yeah, please, please do. I'm sorry I went off on that.
Write us at HappyCast...
Took a weird turn there at the end.
Fans?
HappyCastFeedback@gmail.com.
Yeah, or call us at some number I don't remember.
Yes, if you think channel surfing's garbage and you're glad it's dead forever, please write in.
How do you feel about the metal door sound?
Do you love it? Are you the guy that recorded that? Please write in and tell us.
We will interview you.
We will conduct an extensive 2-hour interview just talking about the creation and the exploitation of the metal door opening sound.
And how much money he gets from royalties, if any.
Yes, exactly. Every time you hear that, I get a nickel.
Oh, well, then he's probably very rich.
Absolutely. So, sorry about that tangent. I suppose this concludes our bummer patrol.
Wait, before we conclude, the radio thing you mentioned, what about Pandora.com nowadays?
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like it channel surfs for you.
Right. I guess you're right. I guess that's kind of cool because it does like a taste profile of the things you like and don't like, and it kind of makes suggestions. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. I think that's a valid system. If I could get something that does that with TV shows.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Hey, Brian, you watched 12 episodes of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Maybe you'd like this show.
So Netflix?
No, yeah, but like not terrible, like a good version of that.
Netflix gets confusing with those. I haven't looked at it in a while, but
with this weirdly specific categories, like here's a list of supernatural shows about ghost detectives. Like, all right,
mind bending children's movies.
Like, is that a thing?
Mind bending is. I don't think I've gotten mind bending children yet, but I'm sure it's out there.
Visually stunning, dark sci-fi 50s. Yeah.
How many of those are there?
More than you'd expect.
Netflix. Okay.
Romantic zombie infomercials.
Wow. So that concludes this episode.
We're done. It's over.
No, that's only whenever we plan our new thing, which we'll talk about later, I assume.
Yes, we should. That would have been a good podcast length, actually, if we're clocking it. But yes, let's move forward to the holiday segment.
Yo ho, away for holiday? Is that it?
Yes, yeah, holiday jamboree.
Oh ho ho, away for holiday. Hey,
Christmas stockings as though they were socks.
Like the big red ones?
Yes. Mine are blue.
How?
Comfortably?
Aren't they huge and fuzzy?
No, okay, well, okay, they're not like those traditional ones. It's like a large stocking, but it's blue and maybe feels kind of felty. I don't know.
Is that what Santa brought you?
My feet are warm. No, I will, I mean, you know, I will talk about the things I got for Christmas in this segment.
Oh, yeah, well, we're back now.
Yes, Ben, since last time we chatted, we've had several holidays pass, New Year's and Christmas.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
The apocalypse.
The Mayan apocalypse. So when did you get your sweetheart for the Mayan apocalypse?
I got her a burning asteroid.
All right. Well, that's thoughtful, I suppose. Did she
need
one to complete her collection of doomsday scenarios?
She did. She already had the volcano and the ice age.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
And the terrible virus.
Did she have the super bird flu?
The T-virus, which turns people into zombies in Resident Evil.
Of course.
A vial of that. I have a shot of Zombrex, which is from Dead Rising.
That will come in handy.
It's just a pen, but
the zombie apocalypse. Like a writing pen?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
But it looks like a syringe of zombie antidote.
Well, I mean, you could, I don't know, I guess you could use that bartering during the zombie apocalypse if you want to lie to people, maybe.
Wait a second, this is full of ink.
I gave you all my rations for this pen.
And then I just run off. But, yeah, the world may or may not have ended. It didn't seem like it ended.
But you never know. There was a bright white flash of light, and then I woke up, and, like, my neck was bleeding, but I didn't know why. There's, like, a drop of blood. People seemed familiar, but they – unfamiliar, but not too unfamiliar.
You were on an airplane.
I was on an airplane. There was a giant foot underwater.
I don't know how you saw that from the airplane.
Exactly.
Dharma and Greg is a great show.
I'm trying to think of how many specific Lost Season 6 references I can make to alienate people that have not seen that show.
Don't you mean Dharma and Greg Season 6?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Jeez, getting your shows mixed up again. But how did you spend your apocalypse?
I think that was a Friday, so I was working that day.
Did anyone reference the apocalypse, or they weren't hip enough?
People were big on the apocalypse. Coworker of mine said, I thought about calling in today, end of the world and all, and then we laughed. You know, mine was more polite, but he got a kick out of it. People were talking about it. Like, I thought it would be less busy with it being the last day of Earth.
It might be more busy. In case people are trying to stock up for...
No, people are, they gotta spend time with their family and friends, you know?
Well, unless it's just the start of the apocalypse. Like, the world might not explode immediately. It might be just like how people in the South act like when it starts snowing barely.
We do that, yeah.
It just flood the stores.
If there is a whisper of the chance of snow, then people will flock to the nearest grocery store and buy every container of milk and bread.
Oh, yeah. It's really unfortunate when we just happen to have to get groceries around the same time, and we're like, oh, we forgot it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
We just really wanted milk and bread. You know, for all those milk sandwiches that we have.
Do you freeze the milk first?
You make a weird kind of French toast with it, I suppose.
Okay. Sounds gross.
Well, I mean, isn't French toast like kind of stale bread, and you drench it in like egg, like beat eggs or something, or milk and eggs? I've never actually made
it. I thought it was just toast that you, I don't know.
Toast that you fried an egg on.
Yeah, sure. Let me get that. Oh, well, since we may or may not, or listeners, tell us how you survived the Mayan apocalypse.
Homework of the week. Tell us how you spent your apocalypse vacation.
Well, maybe there was the apocalypse, but, like, it was just, like, one zombie. And he was supposed to keep infecting people, but he's, like, lost in a desert or something.
Maybe. Maybe it was the, you know, this is how the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. It's going to be a slow process with, like, one zombie infecting another person. And then, you know, it's not going to all be said and done for another 50 years. But the wheels are in motion. The first domino has fallen and has set off a chain reaction.
A very, very slow one.
Exactly.
So what about Christmas? How did you handle Christmas this year?
I handled it well, caught up with friends and family, didn't have a panic attack. That was wonderful.
Oh, impressive.
I'm really getting into the groove and adjusting to what I'm going to refer to as adult Christmas, because, you know, when you're a kid growing up, Christmas is rad. It's, you wake up and you get presents. I got a remote controlled car, and then eat cookies and go and play with your friends, and you're out of school for 3 weeks or whatever. It's great.
You gotta keep this PG about adult Christmas.
I am.
Okay, because adult, I don't know.
I am. And adult Christmas, you put all your keys into a bowl.
Oh.
Wait, no.
Not adult Christmas.
No, I'm sorry. Adult Christmas is a little more low key. You get Christmas Day off because Christmas is in the middle of the week, maybe. Maybe you're working the day after and the day before Christmas. But you're off for Christmas. It's great.
Loki, like Thor's brother?
Yes. Or Logie, like if you had too much dairy.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because of all the eggnog you drink when you get home from work.
And pass out during movies.
Yes. You get off work. You maybe meet with some friends for a brief gift exchange. Go home, have some eggnog, watch Die Hard, wake up, do family things. But then the gifts, I feel like, are a big transition that I was kind of hesitant about at first, but I'm really embracing. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you get race cars and you get video games and footballs and stuff like that. It's fun. But adult Christmas presents are, you know, socks, which I've really, you know, when I was a kid, getting socks was the worst. I hated getting socks. And then as time went on, my great-grandmother, who was alive for a very long time, until about 5 years ago. I was very lucky to have my great-grandmother around for that long, I suppose. But every year for Christmas, she gave me a big bundle of socks, which I was like, well, thanks, Nanny. It's great. I appreciate it. And then something incredible happened, like the Christmas after she passed away, and I didn't get any socks. About March or April, I came to the conclusion, like, I really need more socks. I've never bought socks before. And now I have to actually go to a store and spend money to buy socks. And that was a bummer. I really hated handing somebody money for socks. So after that, I told everybody to get me socks. So you get socks, and my roommate gave me these really, lovely, bed sheets. Like, here's some new bed sheets, which I was like, dope. This is great.
Wow.
So adult Christmas is more utilitarian, I suppose.
Ooh, nice big word. Whoa, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I got this word of the day calendar for Christmas. Yeah, socks. I got a big, I'm about to wrap it up. I got a big bundle, a big stack of presents from my grandmother because I couldn't make it to the Christmas thing at her house, Wayne, Alabama. So my brother comes by, gives me the stack of presents. I open the first one. I'm ecstatic. I'm like, oh my God, socks. Look at these socks. It's a box full of socks. So I go to the next one, open it up, more socks.
Oh.
I laugh out loud with joy. Not just because I got more socks, which was great, but because she took the time to wrap a second box of socks.
You're going to become Dr. Seuss in a second.
Yes. There was a fox in the box with the socks.
A pox.
A pox, galips.
Pox, galips.
Scalips. And then I think the third box was like this neat hooded sweatshirt that I've been wearing today on my sick day home from work, and more socks.
More socks. A lot of socks.
Yeah, I told a lot of people that that's literally the only thing I wanted. So.
Wow. I didn't get any socks for Christmas.
Oh, my God, Ben. I'm so sorry. Now I just feel I got put my foot in my mouth. I have been bragging for the past several minutes about all the socks I got for Christmas, and now I find out that you got none.
People less fortunate than you didn't get socks.
This is really – Now I know the reason for the season. You got to appreciate the socks you have because
you might not have those socks forever.
Exactly.
I got other awesome things though, so it's okay.
Oh, well, go ahead. Tell me about the awesome things you got. I bet they're not as good as socks.
I don't know, because I like pajama pants instead of socks.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Most of what I asked for from my family was, I think I asked for cool stuff that you would think I would like, pajama pants and nerdy t-shirts.
All right. Well, so nerdy t-shirt. So you got a t-shirt with the cast of The Big Bang Theory on it.
Oh,
right?
Nope.
A lot of people
that's
like that
faux
show.
Nerdy, though. That's not real nerdy.
See, a lot of you like that show. Be careful. You're on thin ice.
No, I didn't say it's a terrible show.
That show is dumb. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to band together and talk about
it. It just makes me sad because they aren't, like, they're making fun of nerds is the point of it.
Yeah, but some nerds like it. I don't know.
The confused ones, I guess. I don't know. They're making fun of nerds, though, and it makes me sad. Where community is like, woohoo, nerds!
Celebration instead of a mockery. Yeah, all right, sure.
Colin mockery.
my favorite cast member on Whose Line's It Anyway.
Him and Ryan Stiles are the best. But let's see, what did I... Oh, yeah, all right. I got Assassin's Creed 3 shirt. Which is pretty awesome.
That's cool. I didn't like that game, but that shirt sounds great.
I liked 3 quite a bit because the time period was kind of cool, and I liked stabbing redcoats.
I've always said that I care more about premise than execution, but that game has proven me wrong because I love the idea of it, but hated playing it.
Oh, it's fun though.
I'll get back into it. I didn't even get to the main character. So.
Oh. Get to that part at least.
Okay.
I got that. I got a shirt with Mario on it, which is pretty cool.
Neat.
Just Mario, like, hanging out. And then I got one that I don't even really know how to describe what it looks like, but I know there are 4 superheroes on it, and Batman's one of them.
All right, cool.
I mean, everybody Aquaman's not, so I don't know, but other than that, it was pretty awesome.
Oh, can I tell? I forgot about my nerdy T-shirt.
Oh yes,
from a dear friend of many years. It is. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's a charcoal colored short sleeve shirt with Walter White and Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad on it.
Whoa!
But they're zombies. And
what?
It says Breaking Dead.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Okay. Sorry to derail you.
What did I get? I got a couple pairs of pajama pants. Before Christmas, I actually bought a pair of pajama pants with a gift card we got for Christmas. It was Plants vs. Zombies. It has zombie heads all over it.
Nice.
And
nice.
It feels like heaven. It feels like pants that Santa would wear.
Right?
It's Santa pants, basically.
I need those now.
They are amazing. And then also for my family, I got Colbert's second book.
America something?
America Again, Rebecoming the Greatness We Never Weren't.
Okay.
I got that. I'm trying to remember all my stuff. I got an amazing blanket that feels like a blanket that Santa would use.
Okay, are you... if anything feels amazing, do you associate it with Santa Claus?
Well, no, it's just Santa's clothes are, like, all, like, soft and, like, fuzzy.
It's like, this chef's knife is amazing. It's like a chef's knife that Santa would use.
No. I don't know. He probably wouldn't. He'd probably have the elf slaves do that or something.
Oh, it's a dark take on the holiday.
They're slaves. They don't get paid.
They get paid in the joy of children around the world.
Oh, yeah. All right, fine. You will start getting paid in that at your job.
I can't. That's not a monetary thing I can use for commerce. No.
Joy.
They get...
Try to buy socks with joy.
Sir, I will give you... What is the unit of measure for joy?
A jar?
I will give you 2.5 jars of joy for this fine pair of dress socks.
I don't think that would work. Try that. Go to Walmart and tell them that and see what they say. They probably won't let you, I assume. this is the warmest blanket in the world. Or it seems like it. If I'm underneath it, I feel no cold anywhere.
Sounds like a magic blanket.
I think it is. I've used other blankets. It's like, still cold.
It's like the blanket the main character from Harry Potter would use.
To keep invisible? The one he wraps around himself to be invisible.
I don't know what his name is.
I don't know. I think it's like Ron.
Sirius Black.
It's the main character.
Yes. It is the way I read those books.
As if, I'll just pretend he is. He's in 5. You should read 5.
He is the unseen narrator.
I got more stuff that my mind isn't remembering right now, but from Megan, I got...
Anybody listening that gave you something and you're not mentioning it, just know that Ben instantly forgot about it.
I remember something else I got.
Okay.
I got a little bat signal light that actually turns on and makes a little bat signal if it's dark in the room.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool. That does. And I got a little fat Batman. I call him Batman.
A fat man, yes.
Yeah, apparently, like, and making it a little tiny Joker. Apparently, it's from, like, I don't know, one of those, like, little baby toys. I forgot what the company's called. Fisher Price, maybe? Oh. Something like that. But it's Batman and the Joker, so we don't care.
Like the little egg-shaped people, right? Is that it?
It's not a Weeble.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well, Weebles wobble.
But they don't fall down?
Yeah. Okay. It's not that. I don't know. I'll take a picture of it to show. It's pretty cool. From Megan, From Megan, I got other things. I have to try to remember. I got a Lego set, like a little Lego set of The Hobbit, and it's where Frodo's like hanging out, trying to talk to Gandalf, who's in his cart full of fireworks.
That sounds like a Lord of the Rings Lego set.
That's what I meant. Sorry. Well, it was referenced in The Hobbit.
It was. That's my favorite part of that movie.
That was kind of cool. I did like that. Appreciated it a lot.
I'm putting this sign on the door. Let me wink to all the fans of the films.
It's cool.
It was great. Sincerely my favorite part of that movie, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
I got that. I got something else I'm trying to remember, but my mind is drawing a something. Can't think of that word. Blank.
Blank.
Yeah, blank. Well, I got more stuff. Oh, I got a Mythbusters board game.
Okay, how does that work, I wonder? Are you busting myths?
Well, all right, there's trivia cards, and most of the trivia is about, like, are the myths true or not.
Are they myths that were busted on the show already? Yes. Are they? Okay.
Yes.
So just by having an encyclopedic knowledge of the series, you could win.
Yeah, or just like of knowing if myths are true or not. Yeah.
Yes, or I guess if you get information from things other than TV shows, Ben.
Jeez. But I got that. No, if you're right, you have a chance to be able to fling Buster like across the room, and you have to land him on targets that you place.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a... All right. Sounds like a fun component they added in.
Yeah, that part's pretty awesome. It's just fun to fling them around. Let's see. She got me one more thing that my mind is... Oh, yeah. Little Nintendo gummy snacks. Oh, I got those for my family, too.
Shaped like Mario.
Yes. Mario, nice. Donkey Kong, Yoshi. No, God. That's not officially Nintendo.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. He was in that Smash Brothers game.
Yeah. Well, so was Snake.
Yes.
And then for Megan, I got her like a little Catwoman Lego set, which was weird that because we didn't know we were getting each other. My sister helped both of us, so I guess she wasn't able to tell.
Did she? Okay, I thought you were suggesting that she orchestrated this reverse gift of the Magi. No, okay.
Well, we both just got each other something Lego. Hers was Catwoman on a motorbike.
Okay. Oh, that sounds
Batman's
cool.
Batman like has a jetpack and chasing her.
So it's based off of the comics, not the films.
I have not the films. Maybe the animated series. Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of Lego, they're making a new Lego game, Lego Avengers.
Really?
Yes.
That might be cool.
I think it will be. I was hoping that'd be the next one after seeing the Avengers.
I was hoping for Lego Back to the Future.
I have been hoping for that too, but I don't think they'll do that one ever.
They're making an actual Lego Back to the Future set coming out this year.
They are?
Yeah.
They might do it then. They always only base it off of a set that's already existing.
I'd like to see that, and I'd also like to see one that's based off of a very inappropriate property, like Lego The Godfather.
Okay. I do want Lego Lost, because that would be awesome.
That would be great.
Oh, by the way, this is off topic again. Far Cry 3 is what the Lost game should have started like. Not how Far Cry 3 starts, but like the way the gameplay, that's what I meant. Not the intro scene of Far Cry 3, which is terrible.
I love the Lost game. I think that is a fantastic game.
It should have been like that, wandering on the island, fighting like polar bears and the smoke monster.
No. Yes. That doesn't capture the spirit of the show.
Well, you don't always fight them, just if you happen to. You talk to people.
The show is about walking around a beach, talking to people that don't sound like the people they're supposed to sound like.
God.
Doing fuse puzzles.
I remember fuse puzzles from Lost.
Hiding from the smoke monster in a banyan tree?
Yeah. I haven't seen that game yet.
Oh, you should. Oh,
I know. It was only like $15 or $20. I really want to own it.
I think my brother borrowed my copy a long time ago and has not given it back yet.
Megan's never seen or played it, and she needs experience. You should
make her play it. I think my brother's making his girlfriend play it, because I was at his house. I was like, hey, brother, let me... that's
how
my
you
game.
Reference them?
Yes, sometimes. Hey, it's my game. Are you done with that? Can I take it back? Oh, I'm going to make my girlfriend play it. I'm like, that sounds okay. I don't think she'd enjoy that, but okay.
Okay.
I do really want that back. It's a collector's item.
Not a great one.
At one point, you go to the Black Rock, and it's great.
That part's kind of cool.
I remember I did a very lengthy review of it years ago on another podcast. And my feelings on that game is it is a terrific Lost product and a terrible video game.
That's how I describe it to Megan. Just the other day, that's how I described it. Cause I remember that podcast.
At one point,
is it good? I'm like, for Lost?
Yes, there's some cool Lost things in there. It actually explains a really big mythology thing that never gets addressed on the show.
Which one?
And Lindelof said, yeah, it's true. We agreed. What's behind the wall in the Swan Station?
Oh, yeah. All right, that one.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, that was good.
It's canon. At one point, you're in the jungle. You have dynamite in your backpack, so you can't run. But you hear the smoke monster, and you have to hide. But you have to slowly walk over to a banyan tree. It's fantastic.
Eat that part. But, oh yeah, anyway.
You'll just explode. I'm sorry.
I forgot about Christmas. Other things that I got for Megan, Furt. A game called Furt.
Furt? Alright. Sounds fun to say. Furt, in terms of games with fun names to say, that comes in number two right after Farkle.
Oh, what about Quelf?
I guess that could be number three.
That's fun to say too. I've talked about Quelf before on the podcast, haven't I?
I believe you have.
All right, well, Furt is from the makers of Quelf.
That's the most delightful sentence ever uttered in the English language.
Furt is amazing, and you do silly things sometimes, or like when you're on a certain spot, you have to like applaud anyone who moves forward by golf clapping, or you have to talk like a surfer or something. There's a certain card that if you really don't want to get red, or at least if not if you're my sister or Megan, because you only get to move forward if you don't laugh and everyone else is trying to make you laugh by saying anything they can to make you laugh. My sister is terrible at it. Like you can say just terrible, like depressing things and she will laugh. Like mention Hitler and she'll just start like giggling.
Is she one of these people? I know several people like this. I might have a little bit of this myself. Is she someone who just the restriction of laughter makes her just want to laugh at anything?
I think that's what it was.
It's like, you just can't laugh. Like, oh no, laughing's my favorite thing. I want to do that right now.
And to beat that at the very end, when you get to the middle, you have to try to win and not laughing. Like that's the very last spot. Mm. And so we're pretty sure she's never going to win that game. And usually how it ends up is all of us get to the end at once, and so it's just whoever laughs last wins.
Oh, like the old adage.
Yeah.
Whoever laughs last wins. It's like a Mexican standoff of laughter.
It is. And it's you, but the thing is, cause at that point you also have to say things to make other people laugh, but not laugh yourself. It's pretty fun though.
Sounds interesting.
Got a couple other things, like a Luigi figurine or something. And I guess the engagement ring, but I'm not counting that. That was for, I guess, before our anniversary.
There could be four engagement, right? Does that qualify as its own?
Yeah, that's engagement.
For engagement.
And look at that transition.
Must have been really awkward when you got her a ring for engagement and she was caught with nothing. She had nothing to give you for
engagement. Nothing to give me back. How rude.
I know.
Actually, I can't. Okay, one more thing before we continue on to the next segment. At one point, Caitlin got Anne Frank and Helen Keller mixed up. That's all.
Okay.
We can move on now.
All right. I would love to know the context of that in a future recording or after we're done recording. But
I need to try to remember.
That sounds great. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see afterward.
She didn't. I'm just really having to really bite my tongue not to make any terrible jokes.
All right. Well, the next segment is.
Yes. Something about wedding something.
Ball and chain.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, we talked about how we hate those last time. You mentioned wedding bells. Here comes the segment.
Here comes the segment.
Here comes.
Something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue.
Something podcasted.
A blue podcast. A nice day for a blue podcast.
So I have to put the song in, but it's just be like a nice day for a, and it's just you going blue podcast.
Blue podcast. I can do my best Billy Idol.
I don't know what to call it. Listeners, write in.
For now, let's call it generic wedding segment. The wedding planners, because you're planning the wedding, and I'm just listening to you plan the wedding.
Actually, it's mostly Megan thinks of stuff. Well, I've tweeted several ideas that Megan didn't like. I might go over some of those during this segment. But yeah, the wedding podcasters.
The wedding segment. The wedding podcasters.
Like
sure.
Crashers? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
The wedding casters?
Yeah, the wedding casters? Sure, yes.
Sure, all right.
As good as any.
For now. Listeners, you think of wedding puns and write us in because, I don't know, we're punless right now.
It's time for the wedding casters.
That's terrible.
So it really fits in with all the other segment names we've picked.
that's kind of true.
Marriage.
Yes, welcome to the Wedding Casters, where Ben and I talk about our upcoming weddings.
What?
I'm engaged, Ben.
Oh, no, I didn't hear the plural. Like, we talk about our upcoming wedding. I'm like, I don't remember proposing to you.
No. You proposed that I be the best man in your wedding.
I did propose that to you, and you accepted.
I did.
I got down on one knee, holding a bow tie.
Yes, and I accepted the bow tie. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say. It's not going to be that good when I finally structure this thought in my mind. Always the co-host of the groom, never the groom. There we go.
But we're co-co-hosts.
Co-co-host. We host the chocolate festival in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, we should have a chocolate festival for the bachelor party.
Absolutely. I got an email from this other guy who's getting married, so. 1-2 punch. Like, Brian, all of your co-hosts are getting married.
I wasn't invited to go to that wedding.
And technically, neither was I. It was just acknowledging the existence of that wedding.
Oh, like that? Are you going to? Or is he inviting you to go, or just saying, "Hey, we had it, and you weren't here"?
No, it didn't happen. It's like this is going to happen.
Oh,
I said that's good. I'm happy for you too.
Oh yeah, I think I read that they were engaged
on the Facebook.
Yeah, on the Facebook.
Good. I don't follow the Facebook that well.
I think yes. Megan saw it. I don't remember. Someone okay. saw it. But, oh yeah, so, wedding casters. Sure. Well, before I get to any updates on that, first I want to talk about what happened the other day.
Oh, is it wedding related?
It's engagement related.
Then I reject it as being part of the segment. Then.
You know about you. It. And okay. Megan doesn't want me to tell the story.
Well then, as your best bet, I advise you to maybe not go through with this.
She hasn't listened to the last several.
Okay, well then.
She'll never know.
At the pace that she's going now, in roughly 2 to 3 years, you're going to be in some serious trouble.
I think I'm safe enough then.
Okay, go ahead. Continue. Did you get that dumb text I sent
you? Yeah, I did. That's an awesome picture. okay, so we were hungry one day, and we had a fettuccine Alfredo thingy, and we wanted to eat it, and so Megan started, like, washing the dishes for it. She takes her ring off to be really careful with it, like, whenever she takes a shower and, like, you know, does anything with food. She took it off, set it on the counter, made the food, put it in the oven, and then she realized that she had lost the ring. And she was, like, freaking out, checking all the drawers, looking through all the rooms, like, worried that it fell in the sink. And, like, I went over there and started digging through trash in case it fell into the trash. And then, like, 40 minutes later, after all the trash digging, like, the food finished and Megan was all sad. And, like, she got the food out and the ring flew out of the foil as soon as she lifted it up.
So this sounds like something straight out of a 80s sitcom.
Or a 90s sitcom.
Or a modern day sitcom.
Well, because it happened in Friends in the second episode, kind of.
Oh, right.
Rachel needed to give her engagement ring back to Barry. And she helped Monica make lasagna, except it got cooked in the lasagna, and then Joey ate it all.
Did he eat the ring?
No, he ate the lasagna because she didn't want to, like, ruin it. Even though, I mean, it's already ruined. But I think she couldn't bear to ruin it or whatever, so Joey started eating all the lasagna.
Even after he found the ring, he continued to eat the lasagna.
Probably. Joey.
I'm glad that they really established who that character was by the second episode.
With his leather vests he used to wear.
I forgot about that.
It didn't get in the food. It somehow got caught on the foil, I think, when she moved it over.
Was it damaged by heat?
It was not. I mean, it's made of metal and diamonds, and I don't think it was... The oven wasn't hot enough to melt that.
Good thing.
Or else the oven would melt.
Good thing you went with a real diamond. That would have been a real awkward way to find out. You took the cheap route.
But I thought it was pretty hilarious afterwards. She didn't think so. She's worried it had broken. And then it had to lay on the ground. We didn't want to touch it because it was probably very hot, being in an oven for 45 minutes at 400 degrees.
Oh, God. It was probably like that scene in Lord of the Rings.
Where the ring was forged or thrown into the lava.
No, where Gandalf pulls it out of the fire.
Oh, okay, that one.
You know what? Yeah, that happens a lot in Lord of the Rings. You know, it's like the scene with the ring in it.
Oh.
That's essentially what I was saying. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, it wasn't in the food, which was lucky, so we didn't, like, accidentally eat it. Because if we did and realized it as we swallowed it, that would be very unfortunate.
Oh, that would have been real crappy. I'm sorry.
Brian. I thought you said you got that out of your system on Twitter.
I tried. Compared to the things I've been saying on this podcast, that tweet was gold, Ben. Gold.
Oh, what about the text you sent me before that? In our conversations between the segments that listeners don't get to hear because we're not doing this live right now.
Yes. That was... If I really took the time to polish that, Jim, and really... got the wording down, and structurally, if I was really proud of that joke, I would have put it on Twitter.
Oh, we'll see. Well, maybe you will over the next couple days.
Maybe I will.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, but actual wedding stuff. What did we establish last time that happened?
That you engaged. You engaged in a proposal. And now you're engaged to be married.
Well, we set an official date. That's better than September-ish.
I said, are you married? You said, no, man. But we can do the job while you're in town. Which I said, I'll be there September 21st.
Yes, that is the date. Are you Reverend Brown?
I am.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't think that was your last name.
It is. Dr. Reverend Brown. Great Scott. The 21st, is that a Saturday?
It is a Saturday. It is the day before the first day of fall, not spring.
The first day of Lost.
Yes, it is. It's also the day before the plane crashed. So at that point, everyone was like in Australia getting ready to board a plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great things were happening. Great things were happening.
Oh, that's why we're having it that day.
It's the 22nd is also Bilbo Baggins' birthday. As well as Frodo. They share a birthday.
The 21st is the day The Hobbit was published. And it's Stephen King's birthday. Which is, I mean, that works pretty well for me.
Yeah, a lot going on.
And it is Maggie Grace's birthday, who was in Lost.
Okay, all right. Seems like a stretch at this point, but sure.
Shannon was in Lost.
She was for the series.
Nicole Richie was born on this day.
Oh, God. The daughter of Lionel Richie?
Luke Wilson.
He was in The Wedding Crashers.
Ah, see?
It all comes... He actually, maybe he wasn't.
I don't know. Ricky Lake.
All right.
I'm on Wikipedia on the page for September 21st.
It's a mere 3 days after my birthday.
Marta Kaufman.
Okay, all right.
I'm pretty sure is one of the main producers of Friends.
Oh, right. That's where I know that name from.
Yeah, I was like, I recognize that name. Oh, look at that. Someone named Fanny Flagg.
That's an odd and unusual name.
Is that guy's last name? No, it's not Toilet. Armenia was granted independence from the Soviet Union.
And for all these reasons.
That's why.
You guys settled on September 21st. So yes. Everybody, all the listeners, book your flights, save the date.
All of you.
Every listener is invited to Ben's wedding of the century.
Benedict Arnold gave the British the plans to West Point.
Okay, all right.
That's why. That's the main reason they picked it.
Because, yeah, that's troubling then, if that's...
All right, okay. Fine. Then Emperor Avitus enters Rome with a Gallic army and consolidates his power.
Oh, what year was that?
That was 455.
Oh, it's my favorite year.
Oh, of all of the years, all 6 billion or whatever. It's that one.
So it's on the 21st. How soon should I get there? I think I'll fly in on the 16th. That'll give me plenty of time to sleep in a motel room and check out the town. Rent a tuxedo.
If you want to, you can. I didn't know if you wanted to be here for your birthday, if you wanted to be with like all your people down there for your birthday.
No, I should probably be there, you know, preparing for bachelor parties and stuff.
Should be there at least one day before, because I mean that's bachelor party days. And also like rehearsal dinner day.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you know, I think required at that part.
Okay, I would kinda like to just see the town.
You can do that if you show up early. We can see the town and, like, play video games, because at that point, most of the stuff for me will have been figured out. All it will be is pick up Tux and then, like, go to rehearsal dinner, go to wedding. While Megan probably has to do a lot more things, like crazy makeup, crazy hair, all sorts of other wedding whatevers.
Okay, I can keep you company during that.
Exactly. And we can show the town. We can figure stuff out.
We'll watch the Ben Affleck movie, The Town.
And Wedding Crashers.
And we can watch Wedding Crashers, which is not a film I've ever actually seen.
Me neither.
Don't know if I want to see it, but...
It might just ruin the wedding. I do want bouncers.
The wedding bouncers. Let's make a joke.
People don't want to crash the wedding, so...
I could hang out. We could... I could keep you company, because you're not going to see Megan for that entire week because of the tradition where she can't wear anything other than the wedding dress, and you can't see the wedding dress before the wedding.
I don't remember the tradition of wearing the wedding dress for her week.
You have to wear it for a week. You have to be really careful when you eat, or you will ruin that wedding dress with spaghetti stains.
Maybe you just don't eat, or don't eat spaghetti.
How can a person go a week without eating spaghetti, Ben? That is inhuman.
Only eat white foods. Like vanilla ice cream and milk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of stuff's okay.
Okay, sure.
Or, that's mostly it.
And those are all of the white foods.
Maybe rice. Bread? White bread? Or rice? Yes, you can have rice.
White bread. Mayo.
What a delicious, weak diet. Milk, rice, vanilla ice cream, and mayo.
Living like a king.
Whipped cream?
Sure, yes. These are more white foods.
Listeners, write in white foods you know about.
Fettuccine sauce, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like fettuccine. Yeah, but you could show up early and we'll play Mario Kart. Maybe Gears of War 3.
Maybe. I
haven't played that yet.
So I'll request that time off and we'll figure a thing out.
And we'll drive you home on that Sunday because we're already going that way anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't have to fly back. I mean, we're already driving to, like, the Atlanta area and spending the night there on the way to the honeymoon.
Sure, yeah, it's true. I don't know.
It'll be fun.
Seems like I would be intruding on the honeymoon drive.
I don't really think that 10 hours, like, in the car in one day is going to be very much honeymoon.
Where you can talk about what it feels like to be married. And I, you know, I don't want to be there because I'll be like, I've seen every episode of Friends 2 times.
Most of the stuff we talk about will pretty much be like, oh, so what do we do now in the car? With a third person, though, we could have like a crazy road trip move going on.
I might actually just not want to ride in a car for that long. Flying might be the way to go.
It would be fun.
I appreciate your offer, and I will keep it under advisement. I will consider this.
All right, because it'll be really fun.
It does sound fun.
Actually, that's the main reason we don't want to fly down there, because we actually had fun in the car that long. Like having parties and, I don't know.
I can prepare you guys for being parents by just sitting in the backseat and every 5 minutes say, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Exactly. Just practice being a little kid.
I will kick the back of your seat so hard.
Oh, God. See, this is why you need to go. Okay. We have to practice saying, I'm going to turn this car around. Don't make me pull over. I'll shove you in the trunk.
I can talk about having to stop to use the restroom every half hour.
Oh.
But I drank all this Mountain Dew, and now I have to go to the bathroom.
We could play the license plate game and sing like road trip songs.
Yeah, no, maybe. I'll do that after I'm done complaining about not being there and kicking your seat. Then I'll do that for a little while. And that'll be kind of like the progression of having a child.
Oh.
And then after that, I'm just going to put on my headphones and ignore you guys. And that'll be the final phase.
Oh, wow.
Of what it's like to have a teenager.
Oh, that would be a fun 10 hours.
Indeed.
Oh, that's not even wedding stuff. That's just still, like, before wedding stuff. We picked the day. I decided on my cake. I don't think I mentioned that last time.
The groom's cake. I think there were murmurings about Dharma cake.
Yes, a Dharma cake with a Minecraft diamond pickaxe in the middle.
Ah, that sounds great.
And I need someone to draw it for me. I'm going to see if I can get my sister too, because she's very good at arting things.
Yes, it's my favorite verb, arting.
Arting. I am not, and I told her how I wanted it, and I think... I know Megan's sad. She wants to make hers nerdy too, so she's kind of sad. I think she said she might want like lightsabers around the outside of the cake.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Or at least the Legos holding lightsabers.
Or something written on the cake in Elvish.
Ooh, she has said. She told me during The Hobbit, as soon as she saw Galadriel's white dress, that she wanted that to be her wedding dress. If you've seen The Hobbit, you know that scene. I think it's like right before Gandalf goes and talks to her.
I don't know who that character is.
It's Galadriel's girl elf.
Oh, girl elf. Okay, yeah. Yes. I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
By the way, Kate's going to be a girl elf, I think, in the second movie.
Yes, you're right. What else? I'm surprised that, you know, I guess there are going to be 3 movies. I'm surprised at how much wasn't in this movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for The Last Scene of The Hobbit. Skip ahead 15 seconds. I was surprised the dragon didn't appear until like the last 15 seconds where he was swimming in that gold, like Scrooge McDuck.
Well, he was in the start, kind of, in the
flashback.
But he wasn't actually in the movie at all at that point. I mean, he wasn't in the book at all at that point either.
That's true. You're right.
Neither was
right.
Radagast the Brown. They referenced him once. That's the one with bird poop on his face.
That was really distracting. You'd think he would have wiped that off at some point.
I think he just likes it there.
Makes him feel more at one with nature.
Exactly. All that stuff is apparently part of some side story with a fortress and, I don't know, the Witch King coming back to life, which also kind of talks about the... Well, all right, sorry. I have to say this real fast. One thing that bothered me about The Hobbit was when they were talking about... like, Saruman's like, oh, no, certainly no one's going to rise up. And Sauron, no, he's definitely dead. No.
Like, you didn't like that?
No, it's like the things that like prequels tend to do where they like, try to like... poke it like, oh, look at next movie.
I drink that stuff in. I love it so much because I'm not gonna cite this specific example. I consumed a piece of media that was a prequel. They almost went out of its way not to do any of that stuff, not to have any of the same characters or foreshadow any events, and I hated it.
Was it
the worst. No, I love that movie because I haven't seen any of the other Alien movie, so on its own, Prometheus, kind of cool.
It can reference other characters. I just, when he gets like, oh no, Saruman's dead.
That's never going to happen.
All the rings are destroyed.
Especially the one ring to rule them all.
That one's gone.
Remember?
And I will never turn up to be a bad guy.
Was there a thing with the sword, like the broken sword? Was that in The Hobbit?
No. Well, none of that stuff. None of like the Radagast and the... and that evil fortress with the Witch King, and that's where he got the Witch King's sword. All that stuff just kind of explains where the Witch King came from, who's in, like, The Hobbit. No, not who's in the Lord of the Rings, I mean.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because the Necromancer brings them back, or whatever.
Is the Witch King the guy with the funny-looking teeth?
I don't think it was him. I think that was, like, Wormtongue or Wormtail or whatever.
I don't remember.
The Witch King was a guy who looked kind of like Saruman and was on his, like, the thing he rides, and that might be a Nazgul, I don't remember. And they, and like the girl human, like, oh, no man can defeat me. I'm not a man. And then it's like she stabs him or whatever.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the Witch King.
Okay. Wow. Oh, I've seen those movies and I appreciate them, but a lot of it over my head with the fantasy stuff.
I know. Well, I only know most of this because of Lego Lord of the Rings.
Maybe I should play that then.
That's
maybe
why I remember.
You're talking about wedding stuff. I saw all three of those movies back to back in the theater with me, three friends, and two strangers. It was incredible.
Wow. Were they the only ones in the theater?
Yes. The theater would seat 423 people. There were six of us.
I would have been there if that was going on.
It was glorious. That third movie refused to end, and I loved it.
It goes on so long.
My brother sitting next to me was getting visibly upset, kicking a seat, like, oh, come on. maybe because we'd been there for 13 hours at that point, but I was celebrating its refusal to end.
Did you have to get up and use the bathroom, or did you Al Roker right there?
I didn't take any restroom breaks until the third movie.
Okay.
There's a point where I had to leave in the third movie. I don't think I missed anything. It was a romantic scene between Strider or Aragorn and some lady.
I don't remember. I think I don't pay attention to that scene either. I think it's boring. Anyway.
I was waiting for the scene where it would feel appropriate to get up and use the restroom. I was like, this is it. This feels like the one.
What if Star Wars was a fantasy movie?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yes.
No, but what if? Like, what would they be?
Oh, it is.
not space.
Okay.
Like dragons and elves.
Darth Vader would be a dragon, and Yoda would be an elf, obviously.
No, wouldn't he be a dwarf? He'd be like a halfling or something.
Maybe.
He'd be like a halfling wizard, which would be kind of amazing.
Okay. I thought you were referring to the fact that Star Wars is a fantasy movie in sci-fi clothing, but if it were a fantasy movie in fantasy clothing,
I mean, the Death Star could just be a giant castle with lots of weaponry,
and space samurais.
They can blow up villages from there.
Sure, yeah, and Jar Jar Binks would be what's the most hated race in Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I don't know.
He would be a Gungan.
He just looked me the same.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wedding.
Wedding.
Well, I've tweeted a couple ideas for the wedding, but Megan never likes my ideas. I think the first one I tweeted was, instead of champagne, the wedding toast will be with toast.
Yes, a literal wedding toast.
I like want that. Yeah. Yes, I think it's a good idea. She did not want to do that one. Wedding idea two was, at the reception, there's a marathon of the City Slickers movies.
It's hard to have a marathon when they only made two of them.
Yeah, but you just have those two on the loop. And like the reception's going to be super long. But yeah, I thought that was a good idea. She said no again. The third one, I lost it. But oh, here's a good one that I guess 3.5, cake filled with bacon instead of cake.
A bacon-filled cake? Sure.
Well,
sure.
But it's not actually cake. It's just bacon in the shape of a cake with icing on it.
Oh, I'm not bored with that. If it were an actual cake filled with bacon.
Ooh, that might be good. Oh, an Air Bud reception? Or a marathon at the reception?
The ceremony is officiated by Air Bud himself.
Oh, he died.
Oh, no.
I've been looking up a lot about Air Bud movies. I didn't know there were so many. I didn't know there was a spin-off series with his puppies and the puppies talk.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah, this Air Bud, Air Bud Golden Receiver, Air Bud World Pup, Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch, Air Bud Spikes Back. And then there's, like, the spin-offs where, like, Buddy had, like, a bunch of puppies with this dog named Molly or something. There's, like, Air Buddies, Snow Buddies, Space Buddies, Santa Buddies, Spooky Buddies, wait. Treasure Buddies.
Did you say Space Buddies?
Yeah.
Where they're in space?
The buddies tag along for a field trip to the Space Museum and accidentally walk aboard a rocket ship.
Oh, my God. That sounds like the best movie ever.
Now we know what we're doing when you come early.
Exactly. If you want to watch Space Buddies.
Oh, yeah. And then Super Buddies is coming this fall. Now, wow. I, for one, am really excited about it.
I guess those must be making money. They must be the modern-day equivalent to the Land Before Time franchise.
I don't know how else to explain it.
Where the first one was a serious, quote, serious movie that was in theaters, and then after that, straight-to-DVD garbage.
Oh. But then after that, I think my latest wedding idea that I've tweeted, Megan actually likes, it's after the wedding we drive away in a DeLorean.
Oh, that would be incredible.
She liked that one.
Where are you going to get a DeLorean?
I don't know. Can we make one out of the papier-mâché?
Let's maybe. Well, in Back to the Future, Doc Brown built the time machine out of a DeLorean. So, therefore, if I could obtain a time machine, maybe I could turn that into a DeLorean.
I don't know, because it was a time machine because of the flux capacitor.
And then I could show up, and then you'll be like, whoa, 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 Brian. Are you telling me you made a DeLorean out of a time machine? This is heavy.
Well, I would just take the time machine.
Mm. Ooh, okay. I think I would rather have a DeLorean than a time machine.
Really?
I did not know that about myself, but I...
With a time machine, you could go get a DeLorean.
Yeah.
But you could not do the same the other way.
Maybe. I could drive somewhere and pick up a time machine with my DeLorean.
But where would you find one? If you had a time machine, you're just like, oh, I'll just go back in time to then and like take a DeLorean and then take it back with me.
I would go to a convention of DeLorean owners because if you really think about it...
Like 20, aren't there?
Who is most likely to own a DeLorean or own a time machine is somebody that owns a DeLorean.
That's probably... But there are only like 20 or 30 people that would show up.
About once every 4 years, I do seriously look at DeLoreans and think about buying them. Like, if only I had $40,000.
I played a game recently that was amazing because you could drive a DeLorean.
Ooh, what game is that?
I think it was Driver San Francisco.
Oh, that sounds great.
It actually was a pretty, pretty cool game. And you can find a DeLorean, and I think you get an achievement if you go above 88 miles per hour.
Oh, that's great. That's a great achievement.
It was a great achievement. Well, I think that's all the wedding stuff I have.
Okay. Well, we look forward to catching up with you next time with another exciting, thrilling segment of the Wedding Casters. All right. Time to move on to fan mail. Sounds.
The mail's here.
Oh, great. Thanks.
What's this? A letter for me.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Do we have any fan mail?
We have two fan mails.
That's good. We don't want too much fan mail.
Three, if you count the one from Ralph.
Who's Ralph?
He needs a partner for Biz.
All right. Well,
that's it.
Yeah. Well, forward me the email from Ralph, and I'll look over it. But
I thought you'd seen it and wanted to respond.
Oh, wait. Is that the guy? Is that the one that said that they won the lottery and they
oh, that's a
giving away?
Guy.
Okay.
I forgot about that guy. Yeah, Ralph just needs a partner for Biz.
We should save these for a future segment.
Spam a lot. No, we have two. There's one from Chromio Arsenal.
Oh, I know that guy. I'm friends with him on Xbox Live.
Oh, am I not? I don't remember.
His gamertag's Chromio something?
I might be. I don't remember. I haven't been using the Xbox because I've been using the Wii U in the computer.
Oh, look at Mr.
Next Generation.
Next Generation over here. Mr. Monopoly Man. I can't remember his name. Mr. Uncle
Moneybags.
Pennybags. Moneypenny.
Yes, Mr. Moneypenny.
Mr. Moneypenny.
He says, "Hey, Ben and Brian, it's Chromio Arsenal here." Hey, Chromio. You may remember me from such rants as thinking turtles are amazing and demanding that Nikki and Paolo be edited into the Lost finale.
I remember that.
I remember that. Some other people won't remember that.
That would have been incredible. I maintain if they did that, oh man.
That would have been pretty cool.
They opened if the finale went on 2 seconds longer, Christian Shepherd opens the door, there's a bright light, and then Christian Slater standing there. And then once the light stops blinding them, they see Nikki and Paolo.
They're the saviors.
They're the ones that constructed this afterlife world.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing. First off, I would like to congratulate Brian on becoming a best man. I'm sure it'll be an amazing experience, and we're all excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really hope he doesn't say anything about your wedding. If he just wrote in to acknowledge me and congratulate me on being a best man and doesn't mention you getting married, that would be incredible.
He doesn't.
Yes!
I've already read it.
Oh, well played, sir. Well played.
Now I'm going to cry.
I know. I'm very excited. Not everybody gets to be a best man in their lifetime.
That's true. I have not been one. I've been a groomsman and a ring bearer, but not a best man.
Ooh, I've been a groomsman and a best man once before.
Oh, so it's not your first time.
It ended in divorce, though.
Oh, so that's good luck for us.
So that one didn't really count. So.
Oh, I thought it was more like, maybe you're a bad luck charm.
Oh, maybe. Well,
we'll see in a few years.
I guess we will.
Or we won't. I don't know. What's making me happy this week is the music of Sufjan Stevens. I've heard of him, but I never can remember how to say his name correctly. Sufjan Stevens? Sufjan? Sufjan?
Soft Jam Stevens.
He plays banjo.
Oh, banjo. You know who I like who plays banjo?
Steve Martin.
Martin.
Steve Martin? Ed Helms?
Steve Harvey. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's pretty awesome. He says, specifically the album Illinois. Just wow. People who like that kind of music will understand what I'm talking about. I haven't heard that album, but I know that he is good at music. My bumper patrols when people on Facebook and other places incorrectly type the word your. And then he composes a short poem to voice his feelings.
Okay. In a audio-only format, I don't know how this is going to work. But
it's not a song.
But you're in your... Okay, read the poem.
All right. Should I have, like, bongos playing or something?
Sure, yes.
I can always insert bongo sounds.
Okay, that's good. That'll work better. I'll just snap.
All right, that works. I requested that you write your, when instead you wrote your. It was a mistake, I am sure, of bad grammar du jour. Perhaps you should have thought more. Oh, next time I implore, do your planning before, for your error I deplore. Read a gosh darn book.
Groovy, man. Groovy.
Cheers and happy podcasting, Brandon.
I forgot that guy's British.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, maybe he's not. Maybe that's a false cheers that he threw in.
Oh. Well, if he is actually from there, then all of our viewers who wrote in are from there.
Oh.
I also have an email from the orangest fan of all, Neil.
Neil. Tyson.
Yes.
Mike Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson wrote in. Famous astronaut, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes. Oh, all right. Who was the orange Neil have to say for us?
Season's greetings, chaps. So you can tell he's from Britain because you said chaps.
Ah, I love it.
Or unless he's faking, which I'm still pretty sure he is.
Right, yeah.
He still has not proved it yet. Proved with two O's. So I'm going to spell things incorrectly just to bother Chromio now. I've just finished Epedition 20. Yes, I'm still using Epedition. Well, I kind of forgot to use Epedition last time because it had been like almost a year or so.
Yes, it had been a very long time.
I use it today, though. I use it today because of you, Neil. He's so glad to have the Happy Cast back on his iPod. It's been a while, but I think I remember how to do this. His Happy Hour Bumper Patrol are going to be for the last 6 months.
Ooh, all right. This is exciting.
All right. Happy Hour. In August, I went to both men's and women's Olympic archery finals in London, in case we'd forgotten where they were held, which was absolutely fantastic. He had so much fun, and he thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Sounds like a great life experience. I am jealous.
Maybe they'll have another one in Atlanta, and you can go to it, Brian.
Probably not. I wouldn't bet on it.
No, I heard a Jeff Foxworthy thing once talking about what the Redneck Olympics would be.
That sounds like a thing he would do.
It was. There's something about like tire throwing or actual throwing your hammer after you hit your thumb. Yeah.
That's so dumb. All right.
I know. Bummer Patrol. I know I've touched on the subject before. The location of my nearest cinema, as I've said before, I live in a place where the nearest multiplex is about a 1.5 hour drive, and our local art center, that's in quotes, picks the films they show and what day of the week they play it on. For an example, I booked tickets to see Skyfall at the Maltings Art Center, bearing in mind the premiere was in October. They're showing it on, wait for it, Wednesday, 16th of January.
At 8 a.m.
Oh, God. I liked that movie quite a bit.
I still haven't seen Quantum of Solace, so I refuse to watch Skyfall.
You don't have to see Quantum of Solace. But Skyfall is my favorite Daniel Craig movie. I mean, at least James Bond. Well, yeah. Daniel Craig. Okay.
Are you forgetting that he was in the Tomb Raider motion picture?
I have never seen that.
Okay, it's not very good.
The one aren't there like two or three with Angelina Jolie in it?
I think they only made two, I think.
Oh, was he the bad guy? Or was he the guy something?
I think he was the butler.
I don't know.
It's been a long time. You know, in England, you would think they would just show Skyfall 24/7 all the time.
I know.
I hope that's not a
Monty Python.
Oh, yeah. It's alternating between The Holy Grail and then Skyfall.
Exactly.
Doctor Who marathons, yes.
It's EastEnders.
Jammy Dodgers.
Jaffa Cakes.
Tea. Hot tea.
Hotties?
Saying that something is rubbish when you don't like it.
Taking a lift to your flat? Driving the lorry to work?
Calling garbage cans bins.
Ooh. A bin chute.
Well, clearly we both know some things about England, so that's...
Yeah,
that's,
we know all about.
That
everyone was like Jeeves and Giles and...
That
like,
was a fun...
Twizzleton. Yeah,
absolutely. If American television has led me to believe anything, everyone from Great Britain is like a wise older person that's here to help us, train us and help us focus our abilities.
Well, they have been a country longer, so... It makes sense. They know a lot more about the stuff than we do.
Absolutely.
We're only a few hundred years old. I don't know. I really want to go someday and not say any of those things. Because that would not be good.
Would it not be good?
To say those things, probably. Probably not, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, the things we just said.
The things we just said.
I thought you were talking about saying bins and a torch and stuff like that.
Oh.
I wonder if you get an ugly look if you're, clearly American tourist. You're like, ah, yes, hand me that torch over there, mate.
Why are you going to be asking for flashlights, though?
Because.
Randomly in London.
To showcase that you know that's what they call those?
The Olympic torch should have been a giant flashlight. Like one of the big heavy-duty ones.
Oh, man. It's great. Oh, man. I'm tired. And all the things you're saying are just delighting me to the highest level.
Anyway, he continues. Brian's film reviews. Hey, Brian, regarding The Godfather, I have a friend who absolutely loves the trilogy and hyped them up so much that she press-ganged me, I don't know what that is, into watching them. Is that a word? I don't know, about like a British thing? Or
it's a British thing.
I'm going to start using it.
The press-gang. It's a series that was written by Stephen Moffat.
Oh, I was thinking that's like the people that hang out in the White House in like the newsroom area. And whenever the press secretary has stuff to say, the people who talk to him, that's the press gang. I don't know. I've watched West Wing, which is on Netflix, and that's pretty exciting. He said, I managed to get about 45 minutes into the first film before I turned it off through sheer boredom.
Yes.
You're not alone, Brian. You're not alone. If you want to watch a mafia crime film without hyping too much, I can thoroughly recommend The Departed.
I hear that's a good film. I probably won't watch it.
I think I worked at the theater when that came out.
Wait, is Leonardo DiCaprio in that?
I thought so, and like, I think it's Martin Scorsese did it.
Oh, he's pretty good. I liked Hugo a bunch.
And I think that De Niro might be in it.
Okay. Well, he's also in The Godfather, Part 2.
Part dos.
Part dos.
Well, I never took Spanish. What would The Godfather be in Spanish?
Wait. Oh, it would be the God Padre.
Well, I didn't know if like God would be like Deu or something. I don't know.
The God Padre
would be amazing.
The God Padre.
Podcast title?
Maybe.
Oh, I want
to
see
it. It's up to you. You have final say on podcast titles.
Also, not trying to hype it up too much. Also, Mad Max 2 is better than the first film.
Oh my God, that sounds great. The first film was amazing.
You guys, you got to watch the third one, Mad Max Beyond Hollywood. It's up to you if you want to watch it or not. I guess it's okay.
Okay, I think the actual name of that is Beyond Thunderdome, and he's making a snide joke about how it's overproduced and overpolished because of the bigger budget.
All right, I have no idea. I thought like it was just one that was modern day all of a sudden, and they go to L.A.
I from being told things and hearing things, I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
I've heard other people say this.
I will trust you on that.
I'm really excited to see Mad Max 2.
He continues with Ben's announcement. Hey, Ben, well done on the proposal. As for advice for your wedding day, do it how you two want to do it. And by that, I mean how Megan wants to do it.
And by that, I mean call up Bono. Say, hey, Bono, how should I do this wedding?
And he'll tell me.
Get the edge on the phone.
If you want to, maybe that's part of your best manly duty. Well, best manly duty sounds awesome.
The best manly duties.
Let's see. When I married the old ball and chain, we had a joint hen stag do. Or sorry, bachelor party. See, I have never heard of that before.
Oh, I hope that he just writes in all the time and just increases our vocabulary of these fun phrases.
New challenge. If you are from anywhere in the UK, use as much slang as possible that Americans don't use.
But I don't want that rhyming slang. What's
oh, Cockney?
Called? Yeah, no, that not
yep,
that.
Yep. Bread and butter. Or...
And the fact that he refers to his wife as the old ball and chain, I guess that Mrs. Neil Archfield does not listen to the show.
Well, it was in quotes.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, oh, I hate her a lot.
I think anybody that says that is saying like kind of like a nudging, winking way. They're not like, literally, I made the worst mistake of my life.
What about Norm?
I think he loved. I think he loved Vera. You know,
Still, I gotta watch that again. I'm behind.
Me too.
Not like I can really like stay behind forever because they didn't continue the show.
That's true. You're not gonna get any further behind. You can only improve your standing from where you are.
He said, "Yeah, for their honeymoon, they spent a day at the. Oh crap! How am I supposed to pronounce this? Edinburgh." Is that right?
That sounds good to my ugly American ears, but I don't know.
I don't know. Keep up the good work. Stay keep happy. Neil Orangepeel.
Thank you, Neil Orangepeel. Delightful to hear from you, as always.
P.S.
Oh.
If I could afford the flight, I'd love to come over for the big day. Maybe if I win the lottery between now and then. Or if we win the lottery between now and then, we will pay for everyone's flight.
If Neil Orangepeel can make it to the wedding, I completely understand if you want me to step down from best man, so you can have...
He can be best man, too.
Oh, he can be the best man's best man?
He can be your best man. So he holds the ring for you, and then you hold it for me. You pass it down the line.
That sounds great.
And then he can pick a best man, too.
It's a chain of best men.
Yes. Yeah. All the best men. 12 best men.
I like hearing from him. I also appreciate hearing from Chromio.
GPS.
Arsenal. Oh, okay.
Lost-themed wedding, Dharma jumpsuited wedding would be amazing. All right, that's all.
There's not a postscript?
Sent from my iPhone.
Okay.
That's how it ends.
P-P-P-S. Sent from my iPhone.
Yes. The end.
Okay. I'm a little hurt that he congratulated you on getting married. But he did not congratulate me on being a best man.
Well, we each got one email congratulating each of us.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So that works out. We didn't get an email from FizzBiz congratulating either one of us.
Well, I mean, that's good. I would rather her not write at all than just write and congratulate you but not congratulate me on becoming a best man.
What? You know, FizzBiz, I'm disappointed in you. You are now fired from whatever job we put you in earlier.
Her fictitious job that we don't pay her for?
Yeah, at FizzBiz, FizzBiz.
FizzBiz.
Well, fired.
Who are we going to get to replace her?
Anne.
Who else is going to do? Will listener Anne do this fake job for free?
I don't know. Maybe she'll do it for video game buying advice. Like Braid.
I don't know if he actually likes Braid. I really like Braid.
Braid, I thought it was pretty amazing. I'm pretty sure when I first got an Xbox, you gave me the points to play Braid so I could play Braid.
I do that to a lot of people.
I appreciated it because Braid was awesome.
I did that under the guise of, thank you for paying for this chat box. Here is a form of payment that I can give you. You should use this money to buy Braid.
You just want to talk about Braid, I think.
I like, it's almost the perfect game. It looks beautiful. The music's great. The mechanics are brilliant. The puzzles are great. The story is pretentious.
It is.
So pretentious, if you're into that kind of thing.
Pretentious like Oliver Stone.
Yes, I really liked the pretentiousness.
Little Inferno's really fun. That's my next happy hour.
Is that an iPhone game?
Not yet, but I think it will be one. Because it works so well for touchscreens. And it is amazing.
I will play that on the iPhone when it comes out.
I think they will. I think it's by some people who made World of Goo, except the whole point of it is just to burn stuff.
Okay, well, World of Goo was about building bridges.
Yeah, but this is not
about
the same.
Destruction.
Yeah, you get catalogs, you buy stuff from the catalogs, you burn stuff, you get coins, and you can buy more stuff from the catalogs. And the puzzle part is there are the combos that like all you have is a little two or three word description. You have to figure out what two things you have to burn together to get the combos.
Sounds fun.
It's very, very fun. It's my favorite indie game I've played this year.
Oh.
This year's hardly started, but still.
All right. Okay, good point. I assumed you meant over the past 12 months.
Yeah, the past 12 months starting when I started playing it. It's my favorite indie game.
Okay. It's high praise.
$5 right now. On Steam, so people who have Steam, it's only like $5. Get
check
in and play.
It out.
And the soundtrack's free, so yeah.
That sounds good.
I think I have that. Do I have that? What's on mute? Well, I just played the sound, though.
Okay. It was there. You just didn't hear it.
Exactly.
about that?
Whoop.
Nope.
It continued on to the next one. I forgot how short that sound clip is.
Well, that concludes our feedback section. Thank you, everyone, for writing in.
Thank you.
By everyone, I mean those two chaps, Neil Arnspiel and Chromio.
And Ralph.
And Ralph, of course. I'm sorry, Ralph.
Shame on the rest of you.
I would like to welcome Neil and Chromio to write back, as well as anybody else who would like to write us at happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Give Ben wedding advice. Congratulate me on being a best man. Share your happy hour, bummer patrols, Netflix picks, whatever, you know, whatever you'd like. We're going to try something with our next show, and we'll need more feedback for it to really work out. So
yeah. Oh, let's I might have lost it. I thought that I had a second email from him. Yes, I do. All right, I found it.
Surprise email.
Yes, Photoshop challenge.
This is the postscript email.
He sent a Photoshop challenge in because we forgot to issue one.
Oh, okay.
And
it seems entirely visual.
It will be. It'll be the picture for this podcast, like we always do, where it's always one off, because otherwise we'd have to like tell someone to do the Photoshop challenge before they actually heard the podcast, which makes no sense. It's called One Wedding to Bind Them. Which, was that what the episode was called too? I don't remember.
Something like that. One podcast to rule them all.
Yeah. One wedding to bind them. Which makes sense because, yeah. They're like food pyramids, a church, Mad Max, Gollum, Lego cake with Dharma on it. It's pretty cool.
I would like to see this. And Lego cake with Dharma on it is really close to craft on it, which is the modern day Lego.
It looks pretty awesome.
Oh, should we give him? Oh. And by him, I mean, I guess a lot of people.
Everyone can enter.
But one person will.
Yeah. One person leaves. Everyone enters, only one person leaves.
Okay, what's the Photoshop challenge? Let's, you know, we're really getting back on our feet. We need to take it slow. Don't get too crazy. But what have we talked about?
Talk about cheesy rice.
Okay,
socks.
Sure. Well, that sounds a little, you know, we've been accused of not being original compared to our earlier works. I've gotten some very scathing emails to my personal account.
From Ralph.
Because I think last year we had a stocking filled with macaroni and cheese, which is really just cheesy rice of a different name.
No. A stocking full of cheesy rice.
Oh, maybe that. What else? What else have we talked about?
Let's see.
Lego, Back to the Future. That seems hard, right?
Babies.
Did we talk about babies?
Not much about babies. That was our text to each other about the birth chiller party.
Yes, that's right. We need a picture, like the a picture Photoshop challenge of the best men of all history,
and something about the Hobbit and the apocalypse,
the end of the world. We need a best man and a Hobbit at the end of the world. And a DeLorean, bride and groom in a DeLorean.
And Frank Helen Keller.
No. Let's not do that.
Well, you guys know what we talked about. Find the weirdest stuff we talked about.
Sure, yes.
Slam it together, because I forgot to take notes about it.
We'll call this one a freestyle.
Oh, should we talk about the format that we plan on trying?
Yeah, we can talk about it right here.
We haven't, and I forgot. Maybe, you know what? After show.
Okay, yeah, we do need one of those.
Yeah.
So we should wrap up the show.
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate your time. We know your time is valuable, and you chose to spend it listening to this podcast for 3 hours. And for that, we thank you. Hope you join us next week. Until then, and by next week, I don't literally mean next week. Come on, you know what I'm saying.
The next time we have a podcast released.
Yes, so I hope you join us next time. And until then,
keep happy.
We are very excited to announce, for the first time in over 2 years, the Happy Cast is radically retooling its format. We're switching from a 1 3-hour podcast format to a week-long half-hour podcast.
To a 3 3-hour podcast format.
That's right. Nope. I forgot what the format was. So we're doing 3 podcasts a week.
Yeah. Varying in length between 30 and an hour.
Yes. We cannot tell you when the next HappyCast will be out. But what we can tell you is that the next HappyCast will be on a Monday. And then there will be another HappyCast 2 days later on Wednesday. And then 2 days after that, there will be a third HappyCast on Friday.
And 2 days after that, it's Sunday.
And then we rest.
Yeah, well, we rest on the middle days, too.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Oh, and if you want your feedback to be read, you should probably send it before the Monday one.
Yes, good.
Because we're not recording 3 different days.
Probably not. Yeah, I'll probably do them all at once.
All at once.
All for one.
Oh, and we'll do that. And so if you write in after Monday, your thing will not be read on Wednesday because Wednesday already happened.
But not like a specific Monday, you know, just like.
Yeah, a Monday.
You know, if there is, if on a Monday there's a new podcast, then it's too late to write in for that week. But please write in anyway. It's not like these things have an expiration date.
Yeah, we would. Maybe I can tweet that we're going to record, like, you know, we're going to record in a couple days. If you want to write in, do it now.
Yeah, that could be good. Just a little friendly reminder to people.
Does that have to be friendly?
Oh, you could be a complete jerk if you want
to. Yeah, I want to be really mean about it. That's the best way. I heard you get more flies with vinegar.
That's true. I always wonder why people want to capture flies.
To eat them.
Okay.
Why don't spiders ever use honey then? They just use a web. They just sit there and they get flies automatically. So why even bother being nice? Just do nothing and maybe, you'll get your way.
Maybe you catch more flies with web than honey.
Oh,
the web represents flies? I don't know.
Oh, a web of lies. So if you lie to the flies, you'll be surprised?
You're an up-and-coming Dr. Seuss-esque character.
Oh, it's Photoshop challenge, Dr. Seuss.
Dr.
Fox in a box with a fox.
Yeah, right.
With the pox. And some locks.
Yes, multiple Terry O'Quinns.
Oh, I was thinking of hair or like the fish paste or whatever it is that like some people put on stuff. I don't know.
Oh, locks is a kind of salmon. You know, traditionally maybe smoked and people will pair it with like a cream cheese and put it on a bagel for some reason. Sounds gross.
How do you know so much about lox?
I love lox.
You're a professional of all type of lox.
Loxtober.
What is this month for us?
January is happy-ary. Happy-ary.
February.
And then harpch.
Harpch?
Harpch.
That's my favorite month.
I love harpch.
Well, that's all we have to say about that.
We're ending it with Forrest Gump's catchphrase.
He has several. Podcast, Forrest, podcast. If he were modern day.
Modern day Forrest Gump.
Someone should really remake that movie.
Exactly.
Like the Wayans brothers.
Ugh.
Should remake that movie.
That would be terrible. What kind of things would he be around for the creation of? Like, he gives Steve Jobs the inspiration for an iPhone.
Ooh. He helps Obama steal the election.
Okay, yeah, sure. it's a weird direction for that to go, but okay.
He has to meet a president. Does he like know Bill Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky thing?
Yeah, maybe.
He introduced them at a party.
Sure, okay, yeah. Yeah, I love Forrest Gump, but if you ever talk to anybody about the movie Forrest Gump for more than 30 seconds, you start thinking that movie is stupid.
Can he travel in time?
Oh! he goes back to the events of the first Forrest Gump. And then it's like a meta Forrest Gump, where Forrest Gump is actually the person that put all those Dr. Peppers in the White House for Forrest Gump to drink.
Ooh. Forrest Gump is the one that made his friend lose his legs.
Exactly. Forrest Gump amputates Lieutenant Dan's legs.
Forrest Gump is the one chasing Forrest Gump.
I don't think he was being chased, but Yes.
Maybe he was being chased and it was off camera.
You find out that Forrest Gump, Jenny didn't actually have Forrest's son. She found out that he was a billionaire from the news, and then she lied about Forrest Jr. so that she could get that money because she was sick and she needed to pay her medical bills. It's like a real Breaking Bad scenario.
But maybe Jenny's baby is the future Forrest Gump's.
It is a Forrest Gump, but then you find out the actual father of Forrest Jr. is future Forrest Gump.
Or what if Jenny is Forrest Gump?
And Jenny knows the whole thing. That's why she says, I named him after his daddy. And then he's like, his daddy's name Forrest too?
Yep.
That's right.
And then they realize they're all on a television show orchestrated by Jim Carrey.
Did you know there's a second book, a Forrest Gump book?
I know that they almost did a sequel.
Yes,
I thought it was another Forrest Gump sequel.
Or
where, like, he was going to be friends with, like, an orangutan or something.
Yeah, Gump. I think it's called Gumpco or Bubba Gumpco or something. Because, you know, obviously the first movie's based on the book. And then after, I feel like I've told you this before, so I apologize.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we've literally had hundreds of hours of conversation on this podcast. Is this even part of the podcast anymore? I don't know. I'm going to keep talking.
It's technically recording. It can always be a second after show.
Okay. So, the movie was based on the book and became a huge worldwide success, winning all kinds of awards. The author of the original book was like, oh, this is great. I should capitalize on this by writing a second book. In the second book, he writes into the story that there was a movie made about Forrest Gump and that Tom Hanks played Forrest Gump in the movie.
Whoa.
And then in the book, Forrest Gump meets Tom Hanks.
What?
Yes. Forrest Gump meets Tom Hanks. And then he's not very happy about some of the choices he made portraying him in the movie. And then he makes friends with a monkey that goes to space or something. I don't know.
Whoa. Oh, I also just read this now, what they were going to do for the second movie. He was going to meet up with celebrities like Princess Diana and O.J. Simpson.
It tastes gross in my mouth. Something about time, like not enough time has passed.
Let's see. He would have ended up in the back of the Bronco driven by O.J. He also would have tossed the bloody glove.
Okay. You know what? Yes, I'm back on board. That sounds incredible. So, I kind of resented Neil for all of his postscripts in his email.
Why?
But, and then I realized, what is a postscript if not an after show for a letter?
Exactly. And he had two after shows. We do that sometimes.
It's true. And really, he put the best stuff in the postscript, as we do sometimes with the after shows.
And the second email, which is like a second tinier podcast. Because we've done three after shows before. Usually the first one is planned, the second one, third, whatever else is after is weird stuff I cut out but don't want to delete.
And then the third one is just
annoying songs.
Yeah, just me singing Breakfast to Tiffany's.
Oh god. Or my edit of Friday.
Oh man, are you guys going to have a cheesy wedding reception with like a cheesy wedding band?
No, I think we're going to have an iPod hooked up to speakers.
Can I request Breakfast at Tiffany's?
We can stick it on there.
Yes!
We can. We haven't figured out the first dance yet. We realized that our song that we liked was our song. We didn't hear the lyrics before, but it's about breaking up.
Yes, you mentioned that on the last podcast.
I can remember, but so we're not using that one, and we can't decide. I think she went something from Moulin Rouge because she likes that movie.
Okay.
But I know she's going to be all about, like, dancing with her bridesmaids. I'll be about eating cake with my groomsmen.
I'm going to be about dancing with strangers.
Go for it. Dance with all the bridesmaids.
Only if Breakfast with Tiffany's is playing.
Okay, only during that song. We'll play it on a loop. We'll have the Macarena.
Yes!
Yay!
Get some Huey Lewis on there.
The Power of Love?
Sure, or I want a new drug.
Probably not that one.
What?
I don't know about drugs at the wedding.
But people just think you're listening to the Ghostbusters theme.
Fine, the Ghostbusters theme can be one of the songs we play. That'll be our first dance.
Okay, but I will be under my breath singing the lyrics to I Want a New Drug.
Oh, God. Oh, Power of Love, that'd be a pretty fun thing to have at a wedding reception.
I guess, you know what, I started this as a joke, but I do honestly think the Power of Love would be a good choice.
Yeah, I do. I wrote that one in here because I actually like that idea. I'm going to type that one up so I don't forget.
Don't eat money, bom, bom, don't eat money, bom,
people can like rock out to that while I eat my Dharma cake. Most of the weddings I've been to, the way it seems is the bride and groom don't get to actually do much enjoyment of the cake. It's more sitting there or walking around while everyone else comes up to talk to you.
Don't you guys set up bases across the reception hall and you throw cake at each other, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah. A dodge cake fight. That's why the cake is so big. So you can get handfuls of, and all the other food you can throw too. Rice. Oh, Megan set it on bubbles instead of rice. So that way all the birds will just have clean insides instead of exploding. Myth busted.
Oh man, somebody, what is it? What expands with water? What is it that expands with water?
Other than rice?
Yeah, other than rice. Those little capsules that you put in water and then they grow into like dinosaur shaped sponges or something.
Oh, what are those called?
I don't know. You should throw those at your wedding.
Why?
I don't know.
But they don't get wet.
Good point. Maybe a bird will eat it and then it will explode with a dinosaur shaped sponge.
That'd be pretty awesome looking. I asked Megan if they could throw tennis balls, but she didn't like that idea either.
So you guys get in the DeLorean and drive off, and then I'm going to get in the backseat of the DeLorean that doesn't exist because we're driving to Georgia.
We'll all fit there in the middle.
I'll hire a guy dressed as Dr. Emmett Brown to drive you guys off into the sunset.
Okay, and then you dress like Emmett Brown.
Maybe. I'll have to lose about 80 pounds to pull off a convincing Emmett Brown.
Or just have the hair.
I guess, just the white puffy hair would be enough to sell it.
Put that wig on.
Christopher Lloyd just let himself go.
By the way, that calorie thing is actually working. I haven't used a scale really, but I can tell I've lost a little bit of weight at least.
Oh, that sounds great. I need to get on that. I keep putting it off, and I'm like, I should start now. I think Thursday I'm going to Five Guys. And I'm going to eat so much food I get sick. And then after that, I won't want to eat any junk food. And then I'll start.
We've still been planning on going, but it's been like crazy busy there every day. So we don't want to go.
It's because it's great. You know, you can order online.
What?
That's what I do.
Do you just like show up and like, I'm Brian, give me my food?
Yeah, well, the way I do it, it's sad because it's not very busy. And nobody else orders online. There's actually an iPhone app I use. Where I build my order, and then I put in my debit card information, and then I hit send. It says, like, okay, be here in 20 minutes. And I show up, I walk in, and last time I was there, there's a cute girl working the register, and I say, I'm here to pick up an order, an online order. She's like, okay, didn't even ask my name. She's like, I know who you are. I was like, okay, that's great. I am the online order guy. I wait, I get my food, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should talk to the cute cashier, but I was like, no, I can't, because she already knows I eat like a monster.
Maybe she does too.
That's why she works at Five Guys.
Exactly.
Ah, see, didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Here, sir, here's your hamburger with onions, grilled mushrooms, grilled peppers, double cheese, bacon.
Grilled cheese, grilled bacon.
I like grilled onions and regular onions.
As soon as I saw that they have like a bacon grilled cheese sandwich, that's the only thing I ever want from there. That and the fries.
Yeah, the fries.
I don't like hamburgers.
Okay. Yeah. They have, you like a hot dog?
Hot dogs are okay.
They sell hot dogs. I've never tried it.
Hot dogs are hit and miss for me. But bacon grilled cheese, oh my god. I just now downloaded the app.
Ah, great.
Let me know
if you try it.
We really want to sometime.
You go in, and there are bags of potatoes everywhere. And those are the potatoes they use to make french fries.
Why are they just all over the... Maybe your Five Guys just isn't very good at storing things.
Maybe. The one I go to, they have potatoes piled up on the wall, bags of potatoes. There's a big bucket of peanuts, and they're like, take some peanuts.
Like a big slab of beef hanging from a hook.
No, not that. There is a chalkboard that says, today's french fries are from
France.
This city in Idaho. Fruit Loops. I did not notice until much later in life that Fruit Loops is spelled F-O-R-R-T.
What?
L-O-O-P-S.
Wait, F-O-R-R-T?
Oh, wait.
You said four loops.
F-R-O-O-T.
Okay, I was like, what are you talking about?
I can't believe nobody's noticed. It says
Fort Loops. You think by now someone would have noticed that?
Fort Loops. I did not notice until recently. I looked at the box like, oh, it's spelled F-O-R-R-T. No. I don't want to say that.
F-O-R-R-T.
F-R-O-O-T.